are holding on. We are holding on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Yud Tes Amud Aleph, directly on schedule, Baruch Hashem. About second line down. Tan Rabbanan. Noisnin Mizoinois Lifnei Akelev Bechotzer. One is permitted to put a food in front of a dog in the chutzar, and not like if the dog takes it, the yatza ain't his kakin, you don't have to worry about it. It's mutter. There's no reason for you to prevent the dog from taking the food out. Similarly, another halacha, it's permitted to place food in front of a non-Jew in the chutzar, and not leviyatza, if he goes ahead and he takes it, ain't his kakin. You do not have to worry about it. You're allowed to permit him to take it out. Says the Gemara Hasulamali. What do you need two cases for? Hainu hach, isn't the exact same din? What are you adding on? The Gemara says, Mahu the same, hai Rami Aleha, Vahai Lav Rami Aleha. It is by a dog, it is required for you to feed your dog. And that's why it's permitted, because somebody's gotta feed him. However, a non-Jew, nobody says you have to, let him go to the Salvation Army. It's not your business how he's going to get food. And therefore, you shouldn't have to feed him. Kamash Milan, that, no, you must feed him. Now, not must, but Kamash Milan, you may feed him. The halacha is that you're not allowed... Tais asks a question that what's taka pshat? Why are you allowed to go ahead and feed and put food in front of a non-Jew? Since lamaisa, you're not responsible for it. So just like we say in Meseches Beya that it says that it is it's usher to go ahead and put food in front of animals that you're not required for. You're not allowed to feed the birds on Shabbos. So how can we allow to feed a non-Jew on Shabbos? And we're not talking about feed. We're talking about feeding a non-Jewish, obviously a poor person. One of these guys on McCormick and Devon. So Tosfos says that since there's a halacha that you're allowed to feed. You see, generally you're not allowed to give presents to a non-Jew. That's prohibited to give presents to a non-Jew. Nevertheless, giving them tzedakah, like flipping a coin into the guy on McCormick on Devon's, you know, guitar box. Specifically him, I don't know, but generally you're allowed to give a nickel to the guy as you pass him. So since you're allowed to do it, it's as if you're somewhat responsible for him, and therefore that's why Tosfos says that you're allowed to do it. However, you're not allowed to put it directly in his hands. You're only allowed to leave it right in front of him. You can't put it directly in his hands, because then somebody might look at it as if he's carrying it out for you. You're only allowed to put it down in front of him and let him pick it up and take it. So it's no geya. If let's say you ever need to call a goy into the house to open your fridge or something like that. So a person leaves the light on in the fridge, so he's not allowed to open the fridge. So an easy answer is you walk outside, you say, hey sir, I'm sorry, but can you open my fridge? Because it's only a psik reisha, you're allowed to do that. So he says, you go in there and you feel bad. So you get here, take a beer or take a can of Coke, whatever. So you have to, if I remember correctly, you have to let him take it. You cannot give it to him for him to carry out of the house. This was not a taste over here, but this is a taste in the beginning of the perek. I think it's like, maybe Dav Gimel, Dav Dalet. Where Tosfos says that it's usher. No, Tosfos, sorry, says only if he's standing outside and his hand is stretched inside. But if he's inside, it sounds like you can actually give it to him. Okay, so scratch that. You can actually give him the Coke. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Lo yaskir. Also, just putting down, you let him put down food on a dog that's yours. And you don't have to worry if he takes it. If he takes the bone and he walks out.
What's the kashash? That people will think that you're getting a dog to be working?
No, you're not allowed. It's usur d'oraisa to let your dog work for you. It's not a kashash question. Your dog is not allowed to work for you. Yes.
Do you use dogs as, like, carry objects?
You cannot use your dog to carry an object. It's d'oraisa. To have him carry it for you. In other words, if he's carrying it for himself, that's fine.
Okay.
But if you ask your dog to bring the newspaper and you can't do that. Unless it's an air, whatever. That's Tan Rabbanan, lo yasker adam kelav lenachri be'erv, or it's in an enclosed porch or whatever. Then he's allowed to do something for you, you just can't do a malach of you. There's a question, what happens if you train your dog that every time you go like that, he'll go and turn on the lights or turn off the lights? We discussed that, whether or not you're allowed to have your dog do that. Could you have him trained to then? Tan Rabbanan, lo yasker adam kelav lenachri be'erev Shabbos. A person is not permitted to go ahead and rent his objects to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos, because it looks like you're renting it to him for Shabbos. Be'revi, be'chamishi, mutter. If you want to rent it to him on a Wednesday or a Thursday, that would be mutter. Even though the non-Jew is going to use it on Shabbos, nevertheless, that's mutter. You just can't rent it to him on Erev Shabbos. Similarly, ein mishalchin igoris biad nachri be'erev Shabbos. You should not send a letter with a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos because it looks like he's doing it for you on Shabbos. However, beravi'u bechamishi, if you send it on a Wednesday or a Thursday, it's permitted. Amr lo al Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin, they said about Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin, v'amri lo al Rabbi Yosi HaChassid, some say it was Rabbi Yosi HaChassid, shalai nimsik sav yodei b'yad nachri ba'olam, that he never sent a letter at all in the hands of a non-Jew, even at any time during the week. V'mechashash, that maybe he will actually do the work on Shabbos. Now, we don't pass him like this. We pass him that any time you do something that you're technically giving the non-Jew the ability to complete the act either before Shabbos or on Shabbos or after Shabbos, then it is mutter. You could technically mail a letter right before Shabbos. Tan Rabbanan, ein mishalchin igeres biad nachi be'erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos ella imkein koitzitz le'damim. You're not allowed. This is the reason. This is because of this brisa. You're not allowed to send a letter in the hand of a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos unless you make up a specific amount of money that you're going to pay. And that's what we do, actually. We do make up a specific amount of money because we buy a stamp, 49 cents or however much it's worth, and you mail it. Beis Shammai Aymrim, Beis Shammai says, Kidei Sheyagia LeBeisoi. Beis Shammai says that it's only permitted to send a letter in the hands of a non-Jew if you give him time that he will be able to reach the house that you're sending him to before Shabbos. No, it's got to be that you give him time to, like we said before, to give him time to reach the first house of the city that he's going to. Says the Gemara, at this point, the Gemara thinks that even in the matzif where you paid the 49 cents, and it is still not permitted according to Beis Shammai, unless you give him time to reach his destination before Shabbos. And even according to Beis Hillel, he's got to reach the city first. Says the Gemara, why? V'haloi kotzatz. Didn't you set up for him a 49-cent stamp? So therefore, the guy is no longer doing it for the Jew. The guy is now working for his 49 cents, and it should be permitted. And says the Gemara, I'm of Sheshes Hachikamer. This is how to read the Brisa. V'imloi kotzatz. If you don't set him up with 49 cents, rather you say, tell me how long it takes, and then we'll pay you based on your work. So there, Beis Shammai Aymrim, you are not allowed to let him work ad sheyagia lebeis, right? Beis Hillel Aymrim, ad sheyagia lebeis samach l'chaima. Now, these are very, very difficult sugyas over here, especially lahalacha. And whenever you start Hilcha Shabbos at the beginning, this is where you start. Very difficult exactly to know when and where it's permitted, Amir la'akum, and Melacha, it's mutter for the Akam to work for. But a general rule of thumb is that if he's working for a set price, then technically it's mutter. There are other restrictions, but that's the rule of thumb. And if he's working for not a set price, but based on his hourly work, so you get a painter, he says, okay, $200 for the room, so then rule of thumb is that it's going to be mutter. Specifically, that case might not be mutter, but that's your starting point, is that such a thing should be mutter. If he says, I'm going to be working per hour, I will see how long it takes me, and then I will charge you per hour, then your rule of thumb is going to be usser. And again, there may be some exceptions, but there's hundreds of other rules. But your rule of thumb is that it starts off being usser. And that's what the Gemara here is saying. If it's kotzatz, then it's mutter. If it's not kotzatz, so then it depends on, you know, then it depends on Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and different ideas. Says the Gemara of Hamad Reisha Ein Mishalchen. Ah, you're telling me that if it's not katzatz, you're not allowed to send him. And even if he's able to go and get to the house. So you start off by saying that if he's not katzetz, it's usher. You end up saying that if it is katzetz, it's mutter. Then you brought that to machlekes. And you say the machlekes is where it's not katzetz. Not katzetz, I thought you said it's mutter. The Gemara says, like Asha, had the kvi'i beidavar b'masa, v'had the loy kvi'i beidavar b'masa. There is no kasha. Both of them are talking about a different case. The Seifa, which says that it's a machlokes. It's a machlokes. So then, and if you're able to reach the house, even according to Beis Shammai, if you're able to reach the house before Shabbos, you're able to send it. Let's say you're sending him down the block. You're sending him to South Side Chicago. You're able to send it on Erev Shabbos, so long as you send him, let's say, an hour before Shabbos. So that's the Kvi Beidavar B'masa. That's talking about where there is an official mail service in the city. And therefore, it's the chances of him completing the job is very, very high, because it's an official mail service. And therefore, so according to Beis Shammai, so long as he can complete the entire job, according to Beis Hillel, so long as he's able to get to the city and give it to that service, then it would be mutter.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Is there ever a discussion that takes place that is covering the there and back? Does that ever become a discussion? Where the deliverer, whoever's taking the mail or the package, you need to allow time for the person not only to get there, but also to get back, because had it not been for you, he wouldn't be on the south side of Chicago, and he obviously has to get someplace else. Is that ever an issue, or that never comes up?
Oh, I see what you mean. No, that doesn't come up in this case, no.
Okay.
But it's a good question, though. You're saying because this guy is now stuck on the south side, right?
Or in China, or someplace else where he's certainly not close to home.
Right, right. So I'll tell you, specifically, that question is not a problem. But there is a problem sometimes if you tell a guy to do something, and in order for him to do it, sometimes he's got to set himself up. For example, you want a guy to drive a bus the second after Shabbos. And in order for him to drive a bus on a route the second after Shabbos, he's got to start the route, which is a half an hour drive for him. Well,
sure.
So you know, that could be, that is a discussion. But, yeah, that would be a discussion. Not over here, though. That's not the... It would be in. I mean, it would come up in the Mefarshim over here, but it's not going to be in the Gemara over here. But yes, that would come up.
Thank you. And what we're adding is that if there is a postal service in the destination city,
right?
In this Nachri, we're assuming he will take advantage of that postal service.
So I think the Vart is there's. Let me see how Tosfos says it. But the Vart is that. And the reason is, the Gemara is saying just the chances are, it's has nothing really to do with the postal service. It's the chances are that you will be able to complete the job before Shabbos. So if there's an official postal service in the city, you'll be able to go to the postal service. He'll be able to direct you three blocks this way, four alleys that way, and you're there. Both of the parts of the Braisa only require you to finish the job before Shabbos. That is what you need to be able to do if it's not katzatz. If I want to set him up, can you please paint the house? He'll be like, okay. So it's going to take me 3 hours. If it's 3 hours before Shabbos, then you're allowed to let him do it. If it's not 3 hours before Shabbos, then you cannot let him do it. So that's what it's saying over here. If there's a bay door if there's a Beit Doar in the city, so then the chances are he will be able to complete the job before Shabbos, then it's mutter.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
It says nothing about the fact that it takes 3 hours to paint the room and it's an hour to clean up. He's obviously not going to leave his equipment set up.
Well, that's his own prerogative. I mean, he wants to clean up. That's his own stuff. Unless you consider it as part of the job, and then the 3 hours has to include the cleanup, depending on whether that's part of the job.
Okay. So it's
it could be inclusive. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan Nu Braisa, Ein Mafligin Besfina Pachos Mishloshi Yomim Kaidim Shabbos. One is not allowed to embark on a boat less than 3 days before Shabbos. You're not allowed to leave on a boat. So, Machlik is exactly if Wednesday is included in this. What exactly is included? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Bamedvar Mamurim Ledvar Shus. That's only if you're going for a no purpose. Avaladvar Mitzvah. If you're going for a mitzvah, Shabbat Dami, it is permitted. Upoisik Imai. Now, one of the things that you have to do is you have to set up with the owner of the boat, Amanaz Lishbois, that he's going to go ahead and not work on Shabbos and stop on Shabbos. However, the Einai Shavis, he doesn't actually have to keep the captain of the ship doesn't actually have to keep the rules. In other words, if the captain keeps sailing on Shabbos, that's fine. But you have to say, you're not gonna go on Shabbos, right? And he's gonna say nope. And even though he goes on Shabbos, as long as you made that Tanaya. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel Emer, Einai Tzarech. What?
These people that go on these cruises? I don't go on cruises, but
so actually that's an excellent question. So that's an excellent question. How are you allowed to go on a cruise if you leave on a Thursday or a Friday? So the reality is that strict halacha should say it's usur. Forget for other reasons. Strict halacha should say that it's usur. However, I have been asked this question by my chevra several times. I personally hold there's several reasons given for this halacha. The reason that we go with is because 3 days, it takes your body 3 days to get used to being at sea. And therefore, in the first 3 days of you being on a ship, you are seasick. And we don't want you to ruin your Shabbos. So if you leave on a Tuesday, by the time Shabbos rolls around, you'll already be used to the waves and things like that. Nowadays, that the boats have stabilizers, and the boats have, you do feel the first queasy maybe for the first 15 minutes, just as your feet get used to, you know, the things that only you sense subconsciously, but the reality is you don't sense even consciously. So very subconsciously, your feet gets used to it in 15 minutes, and maybe for the first, maybe for the first 12 hours you feel somewhat nauseous, so then I think it's mutter to go. However, I will not give this heter to the tzibur, obviously, everybody's, it's depending on who you are. If it's the type of person that's going on a cruise, we're already starting on the threshold that he's probably going to be mutter for him. But that's what I think. That's why it's mutter. Let me see quickly.
For those people that you do give that petrol, do they have to go to the ship's captain?
So I have to remember if that's brought down. I'm not sure if that. I have to look up again if that part is brought down. I don't care in kutzis ledamim. Im afik mesvina. If you take a tchum as mishim shat kedem achim b'yamer gabei ha'utzor b'madarbana da amad lemina v'enzev as lemadach gizat. Yeah, even if you remain within the tchum, it's aser. Taisa says it's because of Taisa says it's because of it's aser to go on a boat. It's aser to float. So that's not going to affect here. But I don't think we go with that reason. If I remember correctly, it's the Rambam's reason. Maybe I'll run get a Shulchan Aruch and see.
They also can't see 500 or 1,000 people going up to the captain and asking one at a time. The captain's going to think.
Oh, that could be because you could send one person as a shliach.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's a machlekes over here. If it's because of going out of the tchum. But they say it's not, because it's no problem if it's over the thing. So instead, the Rif and the Rambam learn it's because of the shaking of the boat, and that's how we go with. The question is, what about the? That's the way the Shulchan Aruch brings it down. The question is, what? We pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel that you don't need to go over and and make this tanai. It would be kind of uncomfortable if you had to, but like, you know, you go over to this like six city block long boat and you're like, you're gonna be stopping on Shabbos. Like, what are you talking about? But yeah, so we pass that you don't need to do that.
Why does it matter?
What do you mean?
If you tell him, why does it matter if you tell him? Because you might not do it anyways.
So at least it's at least you, based on your passage on the ship, he's not doing it. Now he's not doing it for you.
Yeah, but if he doesn't do it, then why is it okay?
So Lamaisa, the captain of the ship, is not sailing a ship just for you. He's sailing a ship for the 8,000 other goyim that are on the ship for you. But you want, according to the Tanakhama, you have to make a stance that I don't want to go on Shabbos. Now that I'm stuck on the boat with 8,000 other people and Mr. Captain is driving the ship, so then he's not doing it for me. Especially since I beferish said I don't want it. So you have to beferish say you don't want it, and now the captain, when he's steering his ship, he's not doing it for you. However, we don't paskin that that's a concern, and anytime we assume that there's a rove non-Jews on the ship, then it's fine. Okay, says the Gemara, though, even though it is prohibited to go on a boat on Erev Shabbos, umin Tzur l'Tzidon, from the city of Tzur to the city of Tzidon, afilu be'Erev Shabbos, it is mutter. Even on Erev Shabbos, it is permitted because... says the Gemara, because it says Rashi, it's a very short journey. It was like, you know, imagine crossing, probably like from Chicago to Milwaukee, maybe. I don't know how long it takes by sailboat, but it's something that you can do within the day. So whatever you can do within the day by sailboat is permitted. If you want to say Chicago to Evanston, maybe.
But even Flores, because Sor used to be an island, it's not an island anymore.
What?
Zor.
Oh, okay, fine. That's cool.
Because was it Alexander the Great actually built it? Because Zor basically couldn't be besieged because it's an island; they could always just sail off. But Alexander the Great filled in a causeway so that his army could march up to it and take it.
That's cool.
So it's not an island anymore.
That's cool.
So they resisted being captured by, you know, Sakhera, by all these others, because they were an island, but...
that's cool. So that's why, I guess it was like pretty close to land.
Off the coast.
How much?
So it's like a mile or something off the coast.
Oh, okay, fine. Here, so that's right, from Chicago to Evanston or something like that. Okay. Very good. All right, Tan Rabbanan, Ein Tzorin, you're not allowed to go ahead and make a siege. Yeah, you're not allowed to make a siege on Erev Shabbos. Start a siege on a city and start a war. Al ayore shel nachem pakas mishloi sheyamim kodem Shabbos. Three days before Shabbos. Ve'im hischilu. But if you start it, then obviously ein mafsikin. You can't stop. You can't stop a siege. V'chein, that would like destroy the whole thing.
Why did Yeshua start a
war? Well, before Shabbos. Who says he started it before Shabbos? That's A. And second of all of Yehoshua's milchamas were considered milchamas mitzvah. We're not saying you can't start a war and can't fight a war. And once you're in a war, then there's different dinim. But the question is to start the war on Erev Shabbos or Thursday, that you shouldn't start. In Yisrilu, but if you did start, ein mafsikin. Sometimes the best way to start a siege, in my opinion, is just to say you're going to start a siege. This way everybody's going to buy out everything. And now there's taka... no toilet paper for anybody. It's very simple eitzah, because v'mischilu ein mavsikin v'chein hayashamay omer, and so too the shamay say that it says in the pasuk ad ridita as afilu b'shabbes, it is mutter to go ahead and ad ridita is the quote from a pasuk that talks about making a siege. So it says, you're going to make a machama ad ridita, and it's mashma, where even on Shabbos, it is permitted. It is permitted to go ahead and make the melchama in all fashions. Okay, Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we were knowing in my father's house that we would give a white shirts or whatever, or the white pants, whatever they wore, to a non-Jew. We used to give it to them 3 days before Shabbos. Tanya Amar Rabbi Tzada, Kachay Minhag Yishal Beis Rabban Gamliel. This was the minhag of Beis Rabban Gamliel. Shahu Noisnin Klilav, and they would give their white clothes, lekoivos, to a laundromat. Shloishi Yamam Kaidin LeShabbos, 3 days before Shabbos, because to wash white clothes took a long time. Therefore, they were machmer like Beis Shammai that you're not allowed to give the object to the guy unless he's able to finish it before Shabbos. Utzvuim. Clothing that were colored, afilu be'erev Shabbos, they allowed themselves to give it even on Erev Shabbos because it wasn't such a big deal to wash some clothes. Umidivreim lamadnu, from their words we learn shehalavanim kashin lechabson yosim in hatzavuin, that it is harder to launder white clothes more. It's harder than colored clothes. Abaye have a yohiv leha who manad the tzvi. Abaye gave a colored clothes lekatzora to a laundromat. How much do you want for this? The same amount that I charge you for the white clothes. The Rabbanan already preceded you. What do you mean? It's not as difficult to clean a colored clothes as it is to clean a white clothes. You can't have a one price fits all. It's a whole different. This is a 3-day affair. This is a 1-day affair. Amar Abaye, hi man, do you have money like a tzara? Somebody who gives his clothing to a launderer. B'mishcha nisavle, he should give it to him first by measuring it. U'v'mishcha nishkomine, and then he should measure as he takes it back. Because it's very possible the guy will cut off, you know, at 1 or 2 inches, just because he's going to think that you won't notice it. The e tuffy, if you give it to him at let's say 3 feet long, because again, they didn't have like shirts that we have nowadays. They just had like, you know, these towels or whatever that they wrapped around themselves. So therefore, maybe the towel will be a bit shorter. And every time you give it to the laundromat, your skirt goes up a little bit. So he knocks off another 2 inches. So therefore, the Gemara says you should measure it as you give it to measure it as you take it away from him. If it's longer as you took it back, he ruined it, the matre, because obviously he stretched it as he was washing it. The ibatzer, and if it's too thin, afsde the kavitze, he made it, he shrunk it. I'm sorry, not that he cut it off, but that he shrunk it with his, with Rashi's Beroisim, with hot water. So either he should make sure that it's the same size and it's the proper size when you give it, when you take it back. So that's Tom advice for giving it to laundromats. Vishavin, Elu ve'elu, Shetoyanin, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you're allowed to set the motion going for a Beis Abad and a Beis and an Igulei Hagas, which means for a wine press and an olive press. You're allowed to go ahead and set the beam of the heavy beam of the wine press on top of a bunch of grapes, and you're allowed to let it flow. Now that's not a chiddush for Beis Hillel. Everything is mutter like Beis Hillel, so long as you started it in the proper time. The question is like Beis Shammai. That's the question. Maishna kulu, why is this different than all the other cases, like any of the other cases over there, putting the stuff in the oven and things like that, and turning on your gardener. All these things Beis Shammai says is usher. The gazer b'hi Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai says it's usher. Umaishna kuris Beis Abad v'igulei hagas. And why is setting the beam on top of the grapes and on top of the olives delay gazer, that he's not gazer? What's the type of difference? Like we said back in the Mishnah, it doesn't make sense. And we said we'll wait for the Gemara. Here we are. Answers the Gemara, Hanach, the earlier ones, the Avid Luhu B'Shabbos, Mechayiv Chatos, if you do it on Shabbos, you get it on Chayiv Chatos. There, Gazu B'Hu B'Shammai. B'Shammai made the Gzer that you can't do it on Erev Shabbos, Im Chashecha, before it gets dark. However, Kairiz Beis Abad V'Igulei Hagas, the Avid Luhu, that if you do this B'Shabbos, Loi Mechayiv Chatos, Loi Gazu B'Hu. You're not going to be Chayiv Achatos. Now, one second. I'm just looking for this. There's something I remember here, but I don't see it. Okay, because the act of placing the beam on top of these grapes is not the Iker Issur D'Oraisa of squeezing grapes. The Iker Issur D'Oraisa of squeezing grapes is where you first squish them and you grind them up and then you put this beam on top of the squished stuff, if I remember correctly. That's what I'm looking for. Rashi, I thought Rashi was going to say it.
Rashi on Yudkes Amud Aleph.
Yeah. Maskel. Oh, that's where it is. All right. All right. I thought I remembered Rashi somewhere. It was Yudkes Amud Aleph.
Uh huh. As
it
says.
Which 1 second. Shetoinen. Yeah. Okay. Fine. That's the. I thought I remembered the long Rashi about this. Okay. 1 second. Shetoinen. This isn't because it's a bad verse. I don't know because the guys. Shelohe yoitzim esam begalgal. Come on. He put this heavy beam on it. Vahani the gas kari igulin. Okay, fine. When do we say this Rashi? When do we say that Schita Zesim and Anovim is an Av Melacha is where the Zesim were not Hanimin the Zesim and Anovim that were not squished on Shabbos? So therefore, you are taking the Iker juice out of the grape. So it's like a tolda of dush. But over here, you are not putting the beam on top of the grapes or olives on. Oh, so the Rashi says, you crushed it up first, and therefore the main juice is already out of the grape. So therefore, that's why it's mutter to go ahead and on Shabbos, not mutter, but if you were to do it on Shabbos, it's not the ikur iso diraisa. Even if you were to just let all the grapes sit, eventually they would go ahead and lose all their juice and all the oil. So therefore, it's going to come out memela. If you were to take this bag of crushed dates, crushed olives and crushed grapes, and just put it on top of it and leave it there for an hour, eventually it would drip out all the juice. The beam is just helping speed up the process. When do we say that it's us to de-arise it, to squeeze an olive or to squeeze a grape? That is where it's a full olive and a full grape and you go ahead and squish it. Then the juice and the oil would not have come out without your squishing. That's the Issa D'Oraisa. But in this case, we're talking about stuff that was already ground up, stuff that was already squished. You're just helping the oil and the juice come out first. Okay. So, Man Tana de Kol Midi de Asim Emela Shapirdami. Who's the Tana who says that anything that comes out naturally and by itself without you helping it out? So if you go ahead and squish it and make it come out faster, it's not an Isur D'Oraisa. Anything that would come out by itself is Mutter. Amar V'Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, it is Rabbi Yishmael. It is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. That Nan, we have a Mishnah as follows. Hashum, which is garlic. The Habayser, which is grapes that are not yet roy for squishing. The hamalilos, which is pieces of wheat which are not yet totally ready. Shariskan mi ba'od yom, that were crushed on Erev Shabbos, and therefore you now want shariskan mi ba'od yom. And now you want to go ahead and put this beam on top of it. So you're going to go ahead and force out all this juice that was going to come out anyways with time. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Yigmar Mishatechshach. Rabbi Shmuel says you're allowed to go ahead and put the beam on it after even Mishatechshach, even after it gets dark, even after it becomes Shabbos, because the process has already started. All the juice is coming out anyways. You're not continuing and helping out the malacha at all. Rabbi Akiva says, Lo Yigmar, you're not allowed to go ahead and put, you're not even allowed to go ahead and put the beam on it, even on Erev Shabbos, Rashi says, because you're not allowed, because it's going to complete the process on Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva is obviously a, not only asering it, but he's even a Beis Shammai Yid. He doesn't even let you do it before Shabbos.
Why would he say that you can speed up the process? We don't see that by Bishul, for example. Or you might stir the cholent.
That's an excellent question, because I think by Bishul, you're actually going ahead and you're creating a difference in the process. However, the problem over here is you are extracting. That's the malacha. Since this stuff is out anyways, out of its pocket anyways, the malacha is already done. There's no more room for a malacha. The process is the extraction. We consider it as if it's extracted already.
But you say the same by cooking. It's
gonna get... No, by... Not... There's a difference. Right now, if you take a chicken when it's one-third cooked, and you speed up the process, Lamaisa, it's only one-third cooked right now. You're right, if it would remain on here, it would get more than a third cooked. And your heating it up will cause that more than a third cooked to happen. However, the over here, it's already extracted. It has the status, since you crushed it up, we view the juice as no longer being in the pocket of the olive. The juice is already, they might still be mixed up together, so you might need a beam to help it drip out faster, but it's not viewed as being in the pocket of the olive. The juice is already, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the juice is already extracted. It's already out of its pocket. Now you just have to empty it. But it's no longer extracted. The malacha of squishing a grape and squishing an olive is called extracting. It's already extracted. It's no longer considered a malacha at all. By the bishul, when it's one-third cooked, it's not cooked. You're right, it's standing in a place that if it stays there for the next 2 hours, it will get cooked. But it's not yet cooked, so you're turning on the oven higher will cook it faster. Here, since it was already crushed up, the extraction took place. For example, let's say you take a tooth out of a person's, you extract it, but it's still in the guy's mouth. He just has to spit it out. It's full of blood and everything like that. So could you... Yeah, he's going to spit out, his tongue is all full of Novocaine and whatever, so he's having a hard time. Could you help him get the tooth out faster? Yeah. The extraction's already done. The blood's already taken out. Everything's right. You're just helping him getting out of its mouth. But the extraction is already done. So too over here. The olive already let go of its oil. It might still be mixed up with the flesh of the olive, but it's really lost. It's no longer there. It's no longer together. And therefore, it's just helping the borer process afterwards.
But then why don't we run into the issue of borer?
I mean, is it borer? I don't know if it's borer. I'm trying to remember if we discussed it, the borer. This is what happens when you don't have a good memory. It's let's leave Bayer for now. It could be that it's a Bayer. It could be that it's a discussion by Bayer. Okay, let's leave Bayer for now. Bar is going to come up in the seventh park. Okay, by the way, everything I'm saying here is Rashi. Tosis, but we'll just stick with Rashi. Okay, so what do we see? We see that Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says that it's mutter. And that's why Beis Shammai is going to say that it's mutter. So again, the Gemara asked, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? On your Testament Aleph, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that says that it's mutter because it's going to come out anyways? So Rabbi Yossi answered that it's Rabbi Shmuel. And he brought this Rabbi Shmuel as a proof to his opinion. The Gemara continues, and he says, Rabbi Lazar says that it's Rabbi Elazar he. Somebody switch it. Usually we have over here, the Rav Elazar says it's Rabbi Elazar. Here we have, so Rashi explains, generally Rashi wouldn't do this, but the reason why Rashi is doing this now is because they're both Rebbe's. Or the Rabbi Elazar, says Rashi, it's who Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, who's in Amira, says it's Rabbi Elazar. He says it's Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, who is a Tana. Generally it's Rav Elazar and Rabbi Elazar, whenever we have this. So Rashi doesn't feel the need to explain who the Rabbi Elazars are. But here that they're both Rabbi Elazars, so Rashi goes out of his way to say one's Rabbi Elazar ben Padas, and one is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. The Tanan says, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. The Tanan, chaloyz devash sherisko in Erev Shabbos, if a person has a honeycomb that was crushed up on Erev Shabbos, the yatsu me'atzman, and all the honey is now currently dripping out on Shabbos, it is usur to go ahead and eat from that honey on Shabbos, because we are scared that you might come to go ahead and squish it more on Shabbos. And just like juice that comes out of a grape on Shabbos is prohibited to eat, so too is honey that comes out of a honeycomb on Shabbos prohibited to eat. However, Rabbi Elazar, This is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, argues, and he says that it is mutter, he's materet. He is mater the honey to come, he's mater the honey that comes out. And the reason is, he's not scared that you're going to come and squish it with your hands. And the reason is because he holds, like we just said, since it was already squished out on Erev Shabbos, and eventually it's going to drip out by itself, there is no problem, at least midiraisa, if you go ahead and you squish it out on Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara says, so now the Gemara is going to go back and forth and discuss why Rabbi Yossi didn't say that it's Rabbi Elazar, and why Rabbi Elazar, the other Rabbi Elazar, didn't say that it was Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, who said that the Mishnah was Rabbi Shmuel, my time aloy Omar, Rabbi Elazar. Why didn't he say that it's like Rabbi Elazar, that it's Rabbi Elazar? He, Amar Lecha, Rabbi Yossi will tell you, Hasam, in the case of the Dvash, there, Demeikara Eichel, Ulubasayf Eichel. Over there, there is no real major change between the two objects, before the pressing and after the pressing. Originally, in its honeycomb form, it has a status of a food, and after it gets squished out, even though it is slightly viscous, but honey nevertheless has the status of food, and therefore it didn't really change its status. It was always a food. It was always a food to the exclusion of a drink, and it was a food, and it is a food. I missed that. What was that? I'm sorry. Did somebody say something? Okay. By the way, is my audio freezing up or are we good today? Yeah, we're good. Okay. Because by me, my video keeps freezing up. But, the reason for Rabbi Elazar's heter, says Rabbi Yossi, is because you're not really changing anything. You see, why is it any different to cut a marble cake than it is to squeeze a grape? What's the difference? Both of them, I'm cutting the food in half. The answer is because it's only a problem to squish something if I'm extracting. So, if you have a liquid inside a solid, I'm extracting the liquid from the solid. That's the isser. If I take a piece of cake and I cut out the chocolate in the middle, they're both food. It's not called extracting. That's called cutting the cake in half. Says Rabbi Yossi, you want to know why Rabbi Elazar in that Mishnah is mater you to take out the honey? That's because you're not extracting. It was honey, which is a food, honeycomb, and it's going to be honey, which is a food. So you didn't...
Is it honey one of the seven liquids?
There is... That's an excellent question. Yes, because honey is one of the seven liquids. It doesn't mean, like we said, even though honey is slightly viscous, it's a great question. I'm very, very impressed. Somebody asked this question, if not here, somebody does ask the question. But the point is that it has a status of, you're right, it is one of the seven liquids, but it has a status of food stuff. But it's an excellent question. The difference is, the question is, do you drink it or not? In Shabbos, the question of if something is a liquid or not is dependent on if it's drunk. Whereas with regards to Tumah, the question is if it's poured. So you could pour honey, and nevertheless, you don't drink honey. But that's an excellent question. Very good. Excellent. So the Gemara says, so we're holding over here that the Isser of Dash is only if you extract. Therefore, it's mutter. By the way, that's why it's mutter to go ahead and squeeze a lemon onto fish. The halacha is that you're not allowed to squeeze a lemon into a cup, but you are allowed to squeeze a lemon into fish. What's the difference? The difference is because if you squeeze it onto fish, it was an oichel, and it's currently an oichel. It's buttle to the fish. So therefore, you didn't extract anything. If you squeeze it into a cup, it was an oichel, and now it's a mashke, and therefore, it's extracting the liquid. That's why it's usser. So he says the reason why it's mutter is because you didn't extract anything. You didn't do any isser. However, haka, in my case, or in the case of the squishing of the beams, me'ikara oil v'hashtemashke. That's the ikar iser. So therefore, my raya from Rabbi Shmuel is a much better raya. Rabbi Lazar, what would Rabbi Lazar amalecha? He says, you're right. I hear that it's true that you can differentiate between honey, but hashaminan leil Rabbi Lazar. But I know Rabbi Lazar says that filu zeisim v'anavinami shari. I heard that Rabbi Lazar, albeit you can't prove it from the honey case because, like you said, it's not a raya. But nevertheless, I heard that Rabbi Lazar holds this halacha even by olives and grapes. The haki asar of Hashim in Harda, because when Hashim came from Harda, asar of Aisim Asnisa Biyade, he came along with a package of Mishnayos in his hands, and one of those Mishnayos said, Zaysav Anavim Shariska Me'er Shabbos, the Yatsum Asmin of Asur, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Matir, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutter. So I have a price that says that who I did over here. So what does Rabbi Yasi respond? Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Chanin says, Bryce Elishamele. Okay, so. You're asking me now why I didn't side with you that says it was Rabbi Lazar, and you're because I didn't know Rabbi Lazar said that. You quoted me the wrong Rabbi Lazar, and as for the Rabbi Lazar that actually you quoted me, it's wrong. The Rabbi Lazar that you actually have, I never heard of. So it's not a question why I didn't go with your Rabbi Lazar. You quoted me the Rabbi Lazar that you can't prove anything from, and albeit you can't prove anything from it, nevertheless he still quoted that one because he wanted to show him. That was his opinion, but nevertheless, he says, "You quoted me the wrong one." Rabbi Lazar, my time alone with Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanin. Rabbi Lazar, why didn't you bring down for like Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanin from Rabbi Shmuel? Amar lecha, because he would tell you, "Lav itmar la amar Rabbi Bar Chanina amar Rabbi Yechanan v'mechusaran dicha." The kuli amalei pliki. The reason why I didn't want to say it was Rabbi Shmuel is because it was stated on that brisa that you quoted a machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Between the machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva was because it says that b'mechusaren dicha, if the items in question, the boiser, the unripe grapes and the unripe wheat was not crushed, the kuli alma loy pligi, everybody agrees that it's usur to put the beam on it because placing the beam on it will actually cause the squishage and will actually cause the extraction. Ki pligi b'mechusar and shechika, the machlekes is where they were, where you crushed up the grapes. You did dicha, which is crushing the grapes, but you didn't do shechika, which is the final absolute crushing. You didn't like there. There, says the Gemara, that's where the machlekes is. But if it's mechusar and dicha, if it's missing the actual crushing, then it is usur, both according to Rabbi Shmuel and according to Rabbi Akiva. Vahani nami, and our grapes, says Rabbi Shmuel. Sorry, says Rabbi Lazar. Our grapes, says Rabbi Lazar, is ki mechusar and dicha dami. They were not crushed. And nevertheless, Beis Shammai allows you to do it. So, one second. Who did talking? He shechakizin. Who shechakizin? But tinasin he dichasin. Bahar bishma moedid laeser. So 1 second. Getting back to that Rashi on Yerches Amar Aleph. So what exactly did they do? If they didn't do dicha yet, until it was first brought in. Okay, as far as I understand, what's going on here is, tell me if Art Scroll or Masifta says different, but what I think is that there are three stages. There is the stage where you grind, there's a stage where you grind it up, then there's a stage where you crush it up. That's called dicha. And then there's a final stage of absolute crushing. That's called sechika. So Rabbi Lazar says that our Gemara is talking about where you just ground it up. Where you just ground it up, that is where Beis Shammai says his halacha. Where you just ground it up. Says Rabbi Lazar, the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is specifically where you, not only did you grind it, you already crushed it for the first time. And therefore, there's no proof from Rabbi Shmuel. And I'll prove it to you, because Rabbi Shmuel says that it's mutter even to do it on Shabbos. Beis Shammai doesn't say that it's mutter to do it on Shabbos. So that cannot be the official manda amar of our sugya. The Gemara nevertheless says, "Hey, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Paskins like Rabbi Yishmael." Okay. Continues the Gemara. Yeah, is that that's what it sounds like from Artsko? That there's three stages. Ruben. That there's three stages.
There are three levels in the processing of fruits to take out the juice.
Okay.
Good. Number one, dicha number two.
Okay.
Shchita number three.
Perfect. Okay. Good. Okay, so that's what we're saying. Our Mishnah is talking about where you did Risuk. Rabbi Shmuel is talking about where you did Dicha. And therefore, Rabbi Lazar says, there's no proof for Rabbi Shmuel to our Mishnah. And if he did Shrika, then there's probably no more... Shrika is the placing of the... There's no more juice left. Okay, Shemen Shel Badodin. If you have a Shemen that is left over in the oil press... umachtzolah shel badadin, and if there is mats that are left over from the oil press. In other words, these leftover stuff. So the question is if it's mutter or usser because of muksa on Shabbos. Rav says it's usser, and Shmuel says it is. But Shmuel says it is shari, it is mutter. There is muksa because this is actually... A machlekas Rashi tastes what type of muksa it is. Some say it's noilat because it's as if it came out on Shabbos. That's okay. Okay, 1 second. Rashi says that it depends on the machlekas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So according to Rashi, it's not going to be noilat. Tosis is the one who says Noilet, if I remember. But, okay, Hani Karchi Dezuzi. Rashi says this is mats. These are mats and things like that, that you go ahead and you cover. If you can imagine those like blue things that you cover cover things with, a tarp. That's what it is, a tarp. If you a tarp that you use to cover stuff on a boat with. So, Rashi brings down a second gear so that it's a type of boat, but we go with that it's a tarp. Rav says it is usher to go ahead and use it on Shabbos because it is mukta machmas. That it is designated for something, like a tarp is designated to cover cover stuff with. So therefore, it's muksa for its purpose. Ushmuel shari. Shmuel says it is permitted to use them. By the way, it's very important. Throughout Masechta Shabbos, we're going to have tidbits of muksa throughout the Masechta, and a lot of times you have to remember, like who holds what and where, and like what does Rav hold about his Masechta. There's a lot of conversation about, hey, Rav holds that over there, so. It's going to be a steer. So obviously Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who's more machmer muksa. It doesn't shtim over there. It's a bunch of tesisim throughout the Masechta deal with these little tidbits that come up around over the Masechta. So over here we have Rav is being machmer muksa on the two cases that we have, which is the mat that is used for the bottom of the oil press and the tarp that is used to cover things in the boat. The Gemara continues with Hilchos Muksa. Amar of Nachman, Eiz l'chalava, if a person has a goat that is used for milking, and v'rochel, which is a sheep, l'gizasa, that is used for shearing a sheep, v'tarna goyles l'beit sasa, a chicken that is used for her eggs, v'toyre deridya, and tur is a shor, is an ox, deridya, that is used for plowing, v'tamri, the iska, and dates that are set aside that you want to sell. Rav, in all these cases, says they are usar, u'shmu. Ushmuel Amar, it says that it is mutter. By the way, this is a maramakam for those people that want to say that animals and pets are mutter to move. Because we're talking about over here the animals, and Shmuel says that it's mutter. Okay. Nevertheless, we paskin that pets are usser, but this is definitely part of the conversation that people start with. Like, isn't it mutter to, according to Shmuel, to have a to move this goat. The Kamiflagi says the Gemara, but plugged to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. They argue in the famous machlekes that we're going to have throughout the Masechta in Dine Muksa. Rabbi Yehuda is machmer in Muksa in all the dinim, and he says that anything that is set for a certain thing, for example, these dates which are set to be sold, they are muksa, you cannot use them. And Rabbi Shimon is more makel, and he says that anything that is usable on Shabbos is not muksa. Even if you're planning on selling this item, it is not muksa. And therefore, Shmuel paskins like that. So I'm trying to remember how we get out of this concept that these animals are not muksa.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
The art scroll specifies that this is for Yom Tov.
Oh, that's the answer. Okay. Yeah, very good. Because I'm trying to remember, that's the answer. The chiddush is, thank you very much, Jay, the chiddush is that that since you're not planning on shechting it, therefore it is mutter, it's, according to Rav and Rabbi Huda, it's usher to move because you're not planning on shechting it. That's the chiddush. Even though on Yontif, all animals should be mutter because you could shecht it, and that's what Shmuel holds. Rav, I was trying to remember how we got out of this. Rav holds, thank you, Rav holds that it is Yontif, and it is, therefore, since it's set aside to milk, or it's set aside to shear, you're not going to shecht it. Therefore, it is muksa. It's a chumer rather than a kula. Thank you. Right. Okay, I knew it was like something simple. I couldn't remember it. Like, also, nobody talked about it. I'm trying to remember, like, how do we get out of this Gemara? Okay, I do remember discussing this with regards to the pets. But yes, there's absolutely no proof from here with regards to the pets, because over here, it is talking about on Yontif, not on Shabbos. Okay, Hahu Talmuda. It is still a conversation, but Hahi Talmuda, there was a certain student, the Ori be Charasa, in the city of Charasa, the Argiz, ke Reb Shimon, like Reb Shimon, he was Makel, and Shamte Reb Hamnuna, Reb Hamnuna put into Cherem for being Makel. Says the Gemara, how Reb Shimon sphere, like, why putting him into Cherem? What did he do wrong? He passed like Reb Shimon. The Gemara says, Ba'asid to Rav Havi. Apparently, Char to the Argiz was a city that went with Rav's psak up until then. So, you should not have paskin in that city like Rav. Hani Trey Talmidi, there were two students, Chad Matzel, Bechad Mana. Now, there's going to be a machlekas coming up, I think it's in the 17th parak. If a fire breaks out on Shabbos, how you're allowed to bring things out into a chatzar. There's a machlekes. So chad matzel b'chad mana. One said that he filled up a basket full of food and he carried it into the chutzar in one basket, but he did not bring out many baskets because he held that was usser. And we'll see why this sugya is really in the 17th parak. And v'chad matzel b'arba v'chamish money. One said that you're allowed to save as much food as you need in as many kalim as you need. Money is a keli. So the kamifli give a plug to the rabbi by Zavda v'Rav Huna, and it's a machlekes later on in the 17th parak, and we will wait till we get there. Let's quickly finish the Mishnah. Just to stay ahead of the game. Ain soilin baser batzelu beya ella b'kdeishi yitzoilu mibo'id yom. You're not allowed to cook something, and this we already saw. You're not allowed to roast meat, eggs, or onions, unless you're able to have them roasted, and we say not roasted completely, but roasted at least a third or l'chadchila half of the way there. Einos din pas l'taner im chashecha. You're not allowed to put the bread into an oven when it gets im chashecha, right before it gets dark. V'loy charara, not a cookie al gabe gechalim on top of a raw cookie on top of coals in order for it to bake. Ela k'deish yikrimu panah mibayjim, unless it is that it's able to harden. In other words, be somewhat ready. Mibayjim while it is still day. Rabbi Eliezer says k'deish yikrim atachten shala. You don't. It has the bottom of the bread has to go ahead and become better. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly if that's a chumra or a kula. The next end of the Mishnah is mashal shalin es hapesach betaner. You're allowed to go ahead, and the reason why it's the lotion is mashal shalin means to lower is because the ovens had like an open top, so you're allowed to go ahead and lower a carbon pesach in your oven, im chashecha, right before nightfall. For example, if Erev Pesach falls out on a Erev Shabbos. You're allowed to do that. You do not have to worry that maybe you'll come to stoke the coals. And the reason is because, in other words, the Gemara is saying when cooking karbanos, you're allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos. Reason? Because the people who are cooking these karbanos, Karban Pesachs at least, are going to be super careful. So there's no Isser Shehiyah by karbanos. Uma'achizin Esha'ur b'maduras Beis HaMikdash. You're allowed to go ahead and light the fire in the place in the Beis HaMikdash where they had a fire running constantly. You're allowed to light it. You're allowed to light it there on Erev Shabbos. Not on Shabbos, but on Erev Shabbos right before. And you do not have to worry that perhaps it will become, perhaps you will light it on fire, because again, in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to sin. Ubigvulin, however, everywhere else outside the Beis HaMikdash, kidei she'te'echos ha'or baruba, you're only allowed to light a fire if most of the fire is lit, if all the logs are lit already before Shabbos. Rabbi Huda Aimer bepchamin kol shehu, if it's a fire made out of coals, then as long as it catches a little bit, you can be rest assured that it will flame, it will catch the rest of them. But by logs, you need to catch most of the log. Okay, have a great one, Rabbi Yisai. Thank you so much for joining. And Mirtz Hashem, we will continue.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Baruch Tia.